is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We are live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. It's starting to heat up in Vegas, finally.
Wow, it's great.
I know when
great.
when you first came over from the East Coast, you were very disappointed.
I thought I was still in Jersey. I was freezing, and then finally it's warmed up. It's nice now. And now it's just going to go straight to 100. So now it's going to be really hot. Like, and there is no spring here either.
There's not really an in-between.
Yeah,
the in-between is just like insane wind.
Yeah.
When I was here,
a long time ago, the wind was always kind of prevalent. You know, it was like a dust storm all the time. And the town wasn't nearly as crowded as it is right now.
Well, I hope you know that the hotter it gets outside, it just means the colder that Femi's going to keep it when I'm not in here.
It's
just FYI.
I know. I'm going to need it. Like, my house in the summertime in Jersey, my wife wants to, it's like I have to walk around with a parka. Like, I'm in my office in a sweatshirt. Like, it's so cold in my house. I go over to Berman's house, I have to put a park on. His house is even colder. It's like ridiculous.
See, some people, that's just how they like it.
They're cold. Mr. Freeze. Like, it's unbelievable.
I'm not the type. So at least in the days that I am in here, Michael, they'll be taken care of.
I like it.
Don't you worry. Another player who's hot in the draft right now, Bijan Robinson from Texas, who is somebody that, coaches love him. Players talk about how great he is. He's kind of like an analytics darling, too, with all the different things he can do. But running backs in the first round is a proposition that not a lot of teams like to take a chance on these days.
Well, I think, there's a category, right? So we have to clarify it. So a running back who really has no impact on third down, you can't take in the first round. And so the NFL is no longer classified by downs. It's classified by formations. And because if you're in 11 personnel, which is one back, one tight end, that back has to be very good in pass protection. It's one of the reasons why Saquon Barkley struggled early in his career. He couldn't block. He couldn't pass protect. So you couldn't keep him on the field because anytime he was in the game, the defensive coaches knew he was going to get the football some way, somehow. But when you take a back who can protect, like Robinson can, and can impact the passing game, he becomes a really valuable player. And so, and I say this all the time, why is it okay to pay Keenan Allen, who averages 10 yards a catch, scores 6 touchdowns a year, to pay him $15 million a year, but it's not okay to pay Kamara or Dalvin Cook or McCaffrey? Now, they've gotten paid because those guys are weapons. And if you think Robinson is a weapon, I think Gibbs from Alabama is a weapon too. If you think they're weapons and they can impact the passing game, not the running game, the passing game. Because what I think we have to understand about pro football is the back makes the spread. When the back's great, you're worried about this. You can't cheat anywhere. He makes the receivers better. And I think Robinson's going to be a steal for somebody. Look, everybody gave the Steelers a lot of crap for picking Najee Harris in the first round. Who are they going to pick? A bad player just because he was at a position? Najee Harris can impact the passing game.
So the prop for running backs in the first round is the over-under set at 1.5. And those are the two top guys everybody's talking about, Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. Do you think that there's a chance that two teams could go running back?
You watch college football a lot. I'll throw the question back to you. Doesn't Gibbs look like Kamara when you watch him?
Very much so.
You know, if you could get Kamara, wouldn't you take him on a rookie contract? I think the problem with backs is this notion that we're only going to get one contract out of them. It's fair, but if you use them in the way that Kamara's used or the way that McCaffrey's used, you might have a longer career.
So where do you think that these guys go as we kind of look through the draft order here? Is it
Detroit? Well, I think if Philly's sitting at 10. At Philly, to me, at 10, if they took Robinson. Now, they took Miles Sanders in the second round. But if you're Howie Roseman and you're sitting there and you can get a blue-chip offensive player to go along with your quarterback. So now you have a legitimate big-time runner. You want to run the ball anyway, right? I mean, remember, when they won the Super Bowl, who did they have in the backfield? LeGarrette Blount. They had LeGarrette Blount, and they had Jay Ajayi. They both backs averaged over 5 yards a carry. They won because they ran the ball a lot that year. You know, I know that
I miss Jay Ajayi. Yeah. I'm sad that he didn't have a longer career.
I know that Nick Folk has a statue out in front of the stadium for his play. But those backs were the difference in that spread. They made the receivers better. And I think when you look at Philly, I think you could make the strong argument that if they had Robinson to go along with A.J. Brown, to go along with Smith, they're really good. I mean, how do you defend that with Dallas Goedert at tight end? Who are you? How do you load the? How do you not? And then you got the quarterback who's going to run. And I think if they took a running back to get the ball to who's big time, it may take some of the carries away from Hurts.
Yeah, and I mean, well, so I think that's a good counter because my thing was going to say I could see the Eagles going offensive line there. I feel like that would make a lot of sense. But I think in both instances, you're protecting Hurts with the pick because you're taking a guy that can take off some of the load running or somebody who's physically actually protecting him up front.
Right, and it makes sense if they drafted a young – now, they just signed Lane Johnson to an extension. It was, you know, it was a cap thing. And they've got Mulata at left tackle. And so they need to get some younger offensive linemen. And certainly they have another pick at the bottom of the first round that they can use that for. But to me, you know, maybe they take Gibbs at the bottom and they take an offensive lineman here. I think an offensive lineman's – these linemen are going to go in this range here. Let's say starting with Chicago and all the way down to New England, I think these are going to – it's going to be really an offensive line – area. I don't know what Tennessee will do at 11. Do they trade up? I think that's still a conversation.
Yeah, so that's been one of those things where the Titans, I feel like there's been a lot more and more talk that, hey, they're going to trade up. They're interested in a quarterback. They're interested in a quarterback. Do you think that's true? Have you heard that?
I think they're all rumors, but there is substance to this, and there's one reason why there's substance is because they haven't redone Ryan Tannehill's contract. He's sitting there with $27 million of paragraph 5. So if you're the GM of the Titans, you're saying to yourself, I need cap room. So what do you always do? You go to players that have a large cap, have a large paragraph 5, which is their base salary for the season. And then you guarantee that salary, which then turns into signing bonus, and you lower their cap number. Now, it puts you in some form of cap trouble down the road, but if you know the players on your team for 3 or 4 years, you really don't care. They haven't done that with Tannehill. They're leaving his cap number at 27, paragraph 5. So that tells me they're looking. Mm-hmm. That tells me that if they draft one, they'll choose Tannehill for a year and let the guy sit behind him, or they're going to get someone and get rid of Tannehill and pick up $27 million. So I think there's merit to the rumor. Now, do I think they'll panic and move up? I don't know that. Do they have to move up from 11 to get Richardson? If you listen to the mocks, they would. If you trust your instincts, I would say no.
Yeah, you've been pretty steadfast in saying you don't think that he will be a top 10 pick.
I think we'll know more at the end of the week. I think he's went to Carolina. He's going to places this week. Mm-hmm. And I think these interviews that he has this week will tell us a lot about what kind of leader is he. See, one thing about Anthony Richardson, he doesn't have – everybody wants to compare him to Cam. But he doesn't have Cam's personality. He's kind of a quiet kid, meek and mild. He's kind of not an alpha male. It's not that he's a bad kid. It's just that he doesn't have that dogmatic personality that you want from your starting quarterback. Is he a hard worker? Probably he's a good worker. Is he a Kobe Bryant worker? Probably he's not there yet. So there's a lot of things that have to get cleared up. What is he like mentally when they put him on the blackboard? What can he handle offensively in terms of volume? See, here's what we miss as fans. It's not that the player can't do it. Is can he do it every day? Mm-hmm. Can he come into the building and have competitive stamina to do it every single day? That's what Jalen Hurts had, was competitive stamina. And so he got better. When you don't have competitive stamina, obviously, you know, our boy down in Zion Williamson doesn't have it, you know, then you're not getting better every day. And I think that's what we're going to find out about Richardson this week, and because you need that. If you're making the case for Richardson to be a top 10 pick, you need to be able to say, I can guarantee you he is the hardest worker I know.
And we try to share with you guys any of these like bigger name draft prognosticators when their mock drafts come out. So if it's Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, today it was Mel Kiper, and Mel did have the quarterbacks laid out as one being Bryce Young, followed by CJ Stroud, the Titans trading up for 3 and taking Anthony Richardson, and then Will Levis going 4 to the Indianapolis Colts. Will Levis is actually meeting with the Titans today.
Yes.
So keep in mind, like, all these players are on tour right now. To your point, we're going to learn a lot more by the end of this week and next week with the draft day coming up here soon.
I think all these mocks right now, ignore them.
When does it get real? When should we
I think it gets real the week of the draft. I think there's we'll see so many adjustments. I mean, we'll keep track of these. That's why they have Mock 4.0, Mock 5.0, Mock 7.0, Mock 9.0, because right now they're just guessing. You know, it's all just a guess. I mean, like you said, I mean, you put it so well. I mean, did somebody at the Worldwide Leader mention to Mel that there's never been four quarterbacks picked in the top four picks of a draft? You might want to stay away from that. Did somebody edit the Pro Football Focus mock today when the guy wrote that the best quarterback in the draft is Bryce Young, but I got to have to trade up to make a gamble? Like, did somebody edit that?
I don't like that was one of the funnier things. And I feel bad because there are a lot of things on PFF that I really like. I like their grading system and I do use it a lot. I mean, even in the XFL, they have PFF grades. I don't know if you knew that on the XFL.
I did not know that.
I appreciate the effort that they put into a lot of things, but that was a very interesting thing. And I just don't like when people put things out in an attempt for clicks. And that's very much so what that feels like.
Oh, it definitely feels like that. Look, and you know, look, Darryl Wright here, Mel's got him going 9th overall in the draft. I mean, Darryl Wright's a really good player. He blocked Will Anderson as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, now Will Anderson, this is interesting. Will Anderson in Mel's latest mock has slipped to 6. Mm-hmm. And he's supposed to be the greatest defensive lineman in the history of football. That's all I've read for the last 7 months, right? He's Will Anderson. Oh, my God. They got 52 points to Tennessee, but they got Will Anderson on the team. He can leap tall buildings in a single bound.
I wonder, we need to look at some of these head-to-head props, if there's just a head-to-head with Jalen Carter and Will Anderson, because I bet that's another really good price that you'd be able to get on
We'll
Carter.
Know the answer to that by the end of the week.
Yes, sir. We certainly will. We've got more Lombardi Line coming up in a moment. Plenty of draft talk and NBA postseason upon us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. And I will have you know, last time I looked at the betting splits on that Lakers game, 80% of folks were on LA.
I think you're smart to do your teaser. I really do, because I think that I hate to be on the side of the 80%. So I think you lowered yourself and bought yourself a little bit more leeway.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to be a little creative because it's too easy. And I think this, again, this falls in line with perception. Okay, they don't have Rudy Gobert. They're going to cave. They're going to, you know, and we know that. I know that Will Hill mentioned in the last block about, you know, the Lakers struggled to beat Utah, but, you know, LeBron was saying, well, that was coming back to back and they were tired and all that. But I you know, every time it looks this easy, is it ever?
It's never that easy, right?
No, it's just, never. Ugh. You have to take the contrarian viewpoint.
Taking my, you know, just.
I like it. I think, you know, you should be proud about it. It's just because no one. You know, you don't.
It's
have
not to, the right way to bet, as people
well,
like to say.
The only way, right way to bet is to make money.
So, Michael, you know this. I'm not like a huge NBA regular season person. I really enjoy the playoffs and I get into it then, but I'm not like a day to day NBA bettor. I do it more for fun and like give me a reason to watch. And like that's how I even study a lot of NBA stuff right. To get me set for the playoffs is just like by making smaller bets later on in the
right. Season.
So I like it. I do it to have fun. These aren't, you know, massive bets for me when it comes to NBA specifically. For other things, I take it more seriously, but I just like to have fun. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to have fun every now and then, Michael.
I think you got to watch these games with really the eye of where is this going in the future? Because this will be the most realistic element that we'll be able to determine when it comes NBA mm-hmm. time. And, you know, we know Minnesota's really good during the regular season on defense. We know they can play, and we know the Lakers have moments of going up and down. And even though they have two legitimate player, you know, Hall of Famer in LeBron and Anthony Davis, they have their struggles.
Yeah. The one thing I feel for the Timberwolves that they're having this dysfunction at this time, because Gobert would have been the guy that's D'ing up Anthony Davis, and McDaniels would have been D'ing up LeBron. So they have to kind of reconfigure the way that they're going to play defense this
throw
game.
Out their defensive numbers because two of their best defensive players are not going to be on the court.
Exactly. So I'm interested to get, we'll have Danielle Alvari on the program in about 15 minutes. And I'm curious what her opinion is on if the Lakers are a legitimate threat when it comes to the Western Conference, if or when they get out of this initial game. But for now, let's get back to some NFL talk. Yesterday on the program, we got through the first six teams in the NFL draft and where potentially they could go positionally, what they want to do. So let's pick up at the Raiders right here in Las Vegas with pick number 7. Quarterback and cornerback are the shortest odds available for what position they're going to go with. Quarterback plus 200, corner plus 225, and D-line plus 250. What do you feel they end up doing with that 7 pick?
I think they're going to take the best player in terms of the cleanest player that could help their defense. Their defense is not very talented. I mean, they've got the great Max Crosby. Chandler Jones played better later in the season. They need as many defensive players as they can get. And I don't think it matters on any level. Now, there's no really linebacker that you could take that early, but I could see them falling in love with Gonzalez. I could see them falling in love with Witherspoon from Illinois, especially with Brett Bielema there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was on the Patriot coaching staff. So you're going to get really good insight into this kid as a player. And I really believe that's what they have to do. This player needs to be a player, typically, when Belichick went to the Patriots in 2000, his first pick was Richard Seymour. Now, remember, Gerald Warren went ahead of Richard Seymour, and Cleveland took Warren, and he took Seymour. And that Seymour pick became not only a Pro Bowl player and a team captain, but a Hall of Fame player. I think the Raiders, I'm not saying you're going to get a Hall of Fame player out of this draft, but they need a team captain. They need somebody who's really good, who echoes what they believe in their program, who loves football, who really wants to compete at a high level every single day, who's got competitive stamina. I think it's all starts defense. And when you look at this, cornerback and defensive line, to me, are where they're going to have to go. Throw out the quarterback. I don't think they'll take a quarterback at 7. I know they brought Anthony Richardson in. I know they spent time with Levis, so they've done their homework on all those guys. But if they're not there, I think there's going to be value at the cornerback position. It could be Witherspoon. It could be Gonzalez. I like both players. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are in the Joey Porter element because of his size. And there's a kind of a little disconnect on his value based on some teams. But I think the Raiders need to make sure that they hit with a competitive, tough guy. And I think Witherspoon really fits that mold.
Well, and that's the thing about the Raiders. It sucks. They've missed on a number of those first-round picks, and they need to get it right. And that defense, I know you make fun of me, because one of the things I always say about Derek Carr is that, well, it doesn't help that he had a defense that's giving up 28 points per game as well. So they're a defense that needs to get back on the track. And I love Devin Witherspoon. So I'm curious how you compare Witherspoon and Gonzalez. DraftKings does have a prop up of who will be drafted earlier between those two. And Gonzalez was largely talked about for a while as the guy that would be decided first. But now Devin Witherspoon, a minus 150 favorite to go before Gonzalez at plus 110. How do you equate the two?
Well, I think, you know, one thing you like about Witherspoon is he's really instinctive. I think the one thing we don't evaluate with corners enough is balance. You know, everybody gets caught up in vertical speed. How fast is he? And certainly you need that. But you need to be in balance, because when you jump for the ball or you're playing the ball down the field, if you're off balance, you can't make a play on the ball. The receiver's going to catch the football on you. And I think Witherspoon has really great balance. I think Gonzalez does as well. And so, you know, I think both players, and as I mentioned earlier on the show, you need a corner who's going to tackle, because you're going to be in 7-man fronts. And you're a gap short. And when you're in a 7-man front and you're playing split safety, you got to have a corner that can come up and run support who's not going to turn it down. And the last thing that the Raiders want to do is bring in a player who is supposedly represents them and is not tough.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look like a fraud as an executive. Like, wait a minute, you're talking about toughness all the time. We drafted this guy in the first round. That's a problem.
Yeah, and Witherspoon, if you just look at some of the numbers, made huge strides last year, didn't allow a single touchdown, just 34.9 completions allowed, 14 passes defended, had three picks. And I don't watch film the same way that you watch film, obviously, but I get out there on YouTube and I'm just scrolling around and like, you watch this kid, he's twitchy, the acceleration, a 50-50 ball feels like it's 80-20 when he's in the area. And so, yeah, I'm a big Devin Witherspoon fan.
In my new book, I talk about a lot, Football Done Right. I talk about corners a little bit. I call them breakfast corners and dinner corners. And so a breakfast corner is you got to win early in the route. So you've got to be able to jam at the line of scrimmage and win the route there. Because if you can win the route with your jam and your physicality, the quarterback doesn't come back to that receiver. And so he looks somewhere away. So that's a breakfast corner. A dinner corner is a guy who wins at the top of the route, who can basically doesn't look like he's got him covered, and then can accelerate and win at the top of the route. Guy like Darrell Revis, who's going in the Hall of Fame, he could do both, right? That's the rare thing. Can you play off and can you play press? Most teams want to get a corner who's a breakfast corner because they want to win early. They want to have that physicality. J.C. Horn from South Carolina, who's now in Carolina. That's what he is. He wins early in the route, and he's hard to get away from. He's disruptive, and he makes the timing of the passing game become very hard to deal with. So, you know, Gonzalez is the same way. I mean, he's got the traits that everybody wants. He's got long speed. He's got balance, which I think is really important. And the other thing I think we don't make enough of, you got to make plays on the football. Mm-hmm. Corner is an instinctive position. Like, it, for so many years in my career from working with Al Davis, we tried to move guys who were fast to corner. Calvin Branch, you know, Bucky Brooks. I mean, we tried to move these guys who were really had great speed, and we tried to make them corners because they worked out and they looked like they could play the position. But at the end of the day, they didn't have instincts to play it because they never played it. And their eye level, their eye control was not conducive to play the game the way that was. Receivers see the ball. A corner sees the game out of one eye. And so when he sees the game out of that eye, he's got to have done it a lot. And it's a very challenge for them to do it. And that's why corners never often move to safety, because they're so used to seeing the game out of one eye.
Okay, so if you have a breakfast corner and a dinner corner, what is the guy that can do both? Is he lunch?
And he's great. Yeah, no, he's great. He's a brunch guy. He's the brunch guy. He can do it all. You know, and that's what you want to have. And it's hard to find those guys. I mean, Jalen Ramsey was the classic. Say he could play press. He could play off when he wants to, right? When he wants to. And he's kind of gotten into that mode. Like Xavier Howard, the other corner at Miami, he's clearly a breakfast corner. If he doesn't win early in the route, it's over. Because he's now lost long speed and he doesn't have catch-up speed.
Speaking of breakfast, ketchup. Put that on your eggs, put that on your potatoes, whatever it is. This is the insight you need. You're welcome, folks. We're going to step aside.
You put ketchup on everything?
On a lot of things. This is not a breakfast thing. I put ranch on a lot more things than I put ketchup on.
Wow.
Sometimes I even mix the two together. We've got Danielle Alvari coming up next.
We've got to ask her what she does.
Hopefully she doesn't think my condiment decisions are gross.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to VSiN.com/picks, the picks page, short selections, by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the VSiN Top Experts leaderboard as well to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert that week has the hot hand for VSiN Pro Picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now. Just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We have NBA play-in action coming up tonight, beginning at 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern on TNT. Doubleheader of the 7-8 games, Hawks and Heat, as well as the Timberwolves and Lakers, to help us break down those games and more with the NBA postseason. We welcome in Danielle Alvari, VSiN contributor, host of the DraftKings Starting Five as well, hanging out there remote in LA. What's going on, Danielle?
Oh, very excited for the NBA play-in. The basketball never stops.
It never does. And I know you were all in on the WNBA draft last night as well. How about it? Aaliyah Boston, number one overall.
Yeah, I mean, she was minus 2,400 in the odds, so it was pretty much free money sitting there. And Diamond Miller from Maryland, also going second, was at minus 950. That happened. There were a couple surprises, but outside of that, I mean, Bria Beal comes to mind. She was supposed to be a top 10 pick. You may remember her from South Carolina, and ended up falling closer towards, I mean, 24 or so. So that was a little bit surprising. Also, some of the moves that I think the Dallas Wings made was a little bit surprising as well. The Ducks Wings seemingly had a good draft. They drafted a bunch of players that can score. Matty Seegers from Villanova going number three was a little bit surprising, not in a bad way, but just what was the thought process behind who they were drafting here? Stephanie Soares as well, who's a player who suffered multiple ACL injuries, is not going to be able to play next year, has played with the Brazilian national team at age 18. So a good player who can score actually threes as a big. But again, the Wings picked up a ton of players who can score, but there's only so many people who can touch the basketball and actually get those shots off. So I don't know how they're going to put this together, but they certainly went all in on their scoring. It's a little bit confusing. We'll see how it plays out. But outside of that, the Indiana Fever drafting Aaliyah Boston and also Grace Berger is a huge pickup for them as well. A really solid, versatile guard that they're going to have. So I think the Fever have actually put themselves in a spot to be a playoff team now.
All right. So after you've gone through the draft, I always say the NFL draft really doesn't impact the next season. The WNBA draft, now you've gone through it, you break down all these players really well. What team would you say has betting odds that you would play on based on the draft?
For this year or for next year?
Yeah, next year.
For next year, maybe the Mystics. I mean, I like the Mystics every year, actually. They did a really interesting thing where they traded their number four pick, which is how Dallas got Stephanie Soares, and got themselves a 2025 first-round pick from the Atlanta Dream, which that class next year could be Caitlin Clark. It could be Angel Reese, it could be Paige Beckers, Cameron Brink, Aaliyah Edwards, so many more. So really big draft class next year, which again, you're saying maybe that doesn't make an impact right away, but the Mystics are already pretty much set up to be in a good spot. So adding a player like a Caitlin Clark could be really revolutionary for them. So I think a huge thinking ahead moment for the Mystics. As for this season, I mean, it's really the Liberty and the Aces at the top as it is. I mean, last year, I know JVT had a ticket on the Aces, and I thought, ugh, so boring. But it did end up playing out that way. That's kind of the way the WNBA is still stacked right now. And the way that the Liberty made moves in the offseason, they have two MVPs now. They have Breonna Stewart from Seattle Storm. They have Jonquil Jones from the Connecticut Sun. And I was talking to Jeff Parles about this last night. It's similar to really what we saw with the Nets and Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving coming together and it not manifesting. That's what would have to happen in this New York team for it to be a huge bust, because you have these two MVPs, you have Sabrina Ionescu, you have all the expectations. So as far as the odds are concerned, it's still the Aces and the Liberty for me at the top, maybe also looking at the Mystics.
Yeah, and that's what I need. I just need Becky Hammon and the Aces to run it back. You love to see it. Here with VSiN's own Danielle Alvari. And as we turn the page to the NBA play-in games that begin tonight, I know you do have a ticket minus 6.5 with the Lakers tonight. Now that it's sitting 8.5, how would you handicap this game for bettors trying to get involved?
The Lakers have not been a strong start team, so you're going to get live opportunities, I think. Now, it's tricky because the Timberwolves are playing basically limping into this game. The way they've set themselves up here is absolutely unbelievable. Obviously, no Rudy Gobert, suspended, trying to punch his teammate. What are we doing? Also, more importantly, no Jaden McDaniels, their best option to defend
punching
LeBron.
A wall. What are we doing?
Yeah, their best option to defend LeBron, and not the smartest decision here. Punching a wall breaks his hand and was completely overshadowed by the Rudy Gobert fight. And yes, Rudy Gobert being out is going to be an issue, but even in their most recent game against them, Anthony Davis had no problem versus Rudy Gobert versus Karl Anthony Towns, certainly more so against Karl Anthony Towns just 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, he got 38 points in that game. So, no Rudy Gobert. That's a factor. This line moved about a point when that happened. And then I think the market is starting to realize, oh, wait, and no Jaden McDaniels. And just general discord, among this team is just signaling everybody to go towards this Lakers side. I think it's gotten a little bit high for me here. I think the Lakers could win this game by 10. Again, the Timberwolves are really depleted. Maybe there's a little bit of rally of energy of them at the start here. Again, the Lakers not the strongest start team. So I think you could get opportunity in the first half to go in live on them. That's certainly how I've been betting the Lakers this season, is they go down and you can get plenty of points on them.
The first game of the night are the Hawks, who have announced that they're going to that everybody's available on their team, which their season isn't even over yet. I mean, I'm sure that went over well in their locker room. You know, it's out there that, you know, if you want Trae Young, just call us. So, you know, they're a 5.5 point dog here today. to the Miami Heat, who maybe look like maybe they're turning around. They weren't the same team defensively all season, but we know the regular season may not count in the NBA. What's your thoughts on this one?
Oh, poor Trae Young. Poor Trae Young and his narrative against the Heat, unfortunately. And now they're saying, oh, he's available. He has a lot to play for tonight. So maybe there's an angle there. But unfortunately, he averages 4 less points per game against Miami for his career than against all of the other teams. So Eric Spoelstra has certainly figured out how to stymie him better than anybody else. And to your point, the Heat defense has been way more reliable than their offense. That's really what gives me pause of betting the Heat here. I think this might be a touch too high in the points. I'd like this better at a 3.5 or 4, but I get that you're getting home court here, which we know is so important in the NBA playoffs and especially play-in situations. And also, I think that there's a slight coaching advantage on the Heat side. I like the veteran presidents of Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler here. I think you can look at the Jimmy Butler props, whichever one you want. And also, if you're going to look at Trae Young, his assists in his last 3 games have exploded, 20, 16, and 12. And again, the Heat defense actually pretty solid. It has dropped off, though. Miami has fallen from 5th in defensive rating since the All-Star break down to 22nd. So it is something to take note of as well, which is also why I'm looking to the over here, 228. I don't hate the over here. I could see this going 230 or so. So the over, I also like Trae Young assists to possibly go over, but I think the book has caught up to that. His assist prop is at 9.5. So the over sitting at +115, the under at -145, 9.5, probably a touch too high. But he has gone over that in 2 of the 4 games versus the Heat this season. I would lean, though, betting under on his points here just based on what we've seen so far from Trae against the Heat in his career.
Yep, sadly hard to trust him in those situations.
Unbelievable.
The Western Conference in general, Danielle, feels pretty wide open to me. You have the 4-seed Suns, the betting favorite. Second time in the last 3 years, a non-top 3 seed has been favored going into the postseason. The defending champion Warriors, they are a longer seed. At a lot of sports books, you see them the second shortest shot to get out of the West. Who do you have as the Western Conference champion where things sit right now?
So I talked again with Jeff last night, and he put me on the spot, and just out of gut, I said Warriors, Celtics, and Celtics are going to win it. And I stood by that as I looked into it deeper this morning, because I'm looking at the sides of the brackets here. The Warriors are likely going to have to face either the Lakers or the Grizzlies, which I'm assuming will be the Lakers, but I could see honestly being the Grizzlies. I'm not fully sold on where the Lakers are at. They've made this turn since the All-Star break, but I'm not completely bought into it. It is the LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Oh, they're running out of time, but they were running out of time last year too. So the Kings are also on this side of the bracket. That's who the Warriors are going to have to face first. I think that's an easier side to be on as opposed to where the Suns are. They have the Clippers, I think, is a tougher matchup for the Suns than the Kings are for the Warriors. And I also think that the Nuggets are going to be an issue for the Suns on that side. So I think the Suns are in a more difficult spot, even though they do have Kevin Durant, which is basically a cheat code in basketball, as we know. So Suns, very well-rounded, have performed better throughout this season. The Warriors give people pause because of the way they performed on the road this year. But I just think the metrics are so confusing for the Warriors, because even if you look at their three-point defense, we saw them almost dead last on the road this year, but then at home we're sitting more around like 10th or 15th. And so there's something in the motivation factor for me there. I still think this is a Warriors team that has championship pedigree. They have Steve Kerr, they have Steph Curry, they have Klay Thompson. I think they can get this done. So I like them coming out of the West, even though it is an absolute mess over here.
It is. How about the East? Do you like Boston coming out of the East? Do you where do you have the 76ers going?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously the Celtics will go through the Sixers and the Bucks have that 1 seed, which is helpful to them. I think the Bucks are in the better position here, but I think that the Celtics are the better team here. It's so tough because I think Giannis should be the MVP. I think he's the best two-way player we have in the NBA right now. I don't know if he's going to get it. I don't know if that, but he definitely deserves it. For that reason, it's tough for me to go against the Bucks, especially because we could see this kind of Bucks-Celtics rematch where they didn't have Brogdon last year, and we're missing some key parts of the Bucks team, and maybe now we're going to see a little bit of a revenge situation. I just think the Celtics are the stronger team. I think Tatum's doing incredibly this year, has taken the step forward from last year that he needed to take. So I feel like it's the Celtics' lucky year.
Danielle, awesome stuff.
Great
Thank
work.
You.
Great job, Danielle.
Thanks, guys.
When it comes to Milwaukee, I feel like they are the team that needs their star player more than any other team. Yeah. Like, if he has an off night, they're not in good shape. But he rarely, if ever, has off night.
He's the best two-way player.
Yeah.
And with Brogdon on their team, I mean, they're good.
We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. Stay with us.
Yeah. This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into BetMGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today for an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We are wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. And it is time, like we do every show here on the network, to do our pro tip of the show. And this one has to do with the NBA postseason, Michael. You mentioned it, that these play-in games are maybe a good gauge for how a team will actually play in the playoffs. The regular season, we can't use a lot of this information to our benefit because, I mean, players are in and out of the lineup. Games are so long ago. It's so different.
Yeah, I agree. And I think when we get past the play-in, I would suggest when you watch the first game, whatever you think the series is before the first game, you need to reevaluate your handicapping after the first game to really judge because the first game will be whatever the series is, Cleveland, Knicks. It'll be a true indication of what those two teams really and how they match up. I can't get through a show without sneezing. That's how it's always so cold in here. It's unbelievable. But I think you have to do that. I think you have to readjust your evaluation because the regular season is really not part of it. And so when you look at the games, especially the first games, the 76ers versus the Nets, okay, we all think the 76ers will win, but we'll have a better idea about the 76ers team, what they really look like, and then you can parlay that moving forward.
A really good point. VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com. You can search them by show and by sport. Become a subscriber today to get all of the great insight that we have here at the network. Michael, have you ever tried? So this is a little sneeze technique I have.
Yeah.
For me, it works. For some people, it works. I hope you can remember it. Might want to write it down. Envision a cow juggling pineapples. It always makes the sneeze, for whatever reason, go away in my head. Just envision a cow juggling pineapples.
Is it a white and black cow? Is it a black cow? What kind of cow?
I think it's whatever cow you want to imagine. My cow that I envision is a cartoon cow.
I love it. Is it the Chick-fil-A cow?
No, it's not. I don't know. So somebody just told me this one time in college, and it's really, really worked for me.
I got to work on it. Every show I sneeze. I mean, the over-under on me sneezing is 1.5.
The reason I started doing it was because I think sneezing while driving is very dangerous.
Yeah.
And so
you lose sight of the road.
Yes, it's scary to me. So now I just have this,
I got to work on that. All right. Pineapples thing. Cow juggling pineapples. Okay.
You're welcome, world. Anybody out there, tweet me. Let me know if it works for you. So as far as the NBA playoff go here, Michael.
Yeah.
Is there a series that you're particularly interested in? Is there a team that you feel confident is going to go all the way? How
are
you feeling?
I don't think we've spent enough time talking about the coaching in the series, too, the adjustments. I mean, 7-game series are about coaching adjustments to the adjustments to the adjustments, right? I think what Danielle said about Spoelstra's ability to take away Trae Young was really good. 4 point less against Miami than he is against any other team because Spoelstra's so good at game planning. And he's so good at making the opponent play left-handed. And he's really good on his adjustments. And he's not winging it as he goes. If you want a criticism of the 76ers, is look at their playoff rotations under Doc. They're out of sync. You know, Maxey ended up playing in a series 2 years ago because he had to when he wasn't playing the whole year. Like, what teams are preparing for the playoffs and what teams are trying to win the regular season? And I think coaching really matters. I think coaching really matters. And I think we don't handicap that enough in the NBA. We just think it's all about the talent when we know it's about the coaching. And we know that the coaching does make a huge difference.
So is that just another argument or reason why so many people like Golden State?
I think that's true. I think there's certainly two like. I think you like Phoenix because of Monty Williams, who's done a nice job of coaching and creating game plans and how do you make a team play left-handed. Look, Dallas last year, I thought Kidd did a great job in the playoffs, getting to the conference finals. You know, the way he matched up in seven-game series, we can't lose sight of this. I know we're coming off of the March Madness, and it's a one-game in play. Seven-game series, the best team usually wins. But the best team that wins has to make the adjustments. How are we playing them? I think Thibodeau with the Knicks is an interesting one. Will Hill mentioned this. You know, he's known as a defensive coach, but he's also a really good matchup coach. How does he make the other team play left-handed? And where are we going in that direction? So, you know, I think we have to look at that, especially in each matchup.
So because of what you're saying about Doc, are you, like, not just him, there's a number of other factors, obviously, but are you, like, completely out on Philadelphia making it to an Eastern Conference Final appearance?
I don't think there's a chance they can. Watch Doc's rotations in the playoffs. They'll be all over the place. He'll be searching for an answer, and it may not happen in Brooklyn, but he'll be searching for an answer because he's never really prepared the team. I mean, think about, did you read Doc's comments on Sunday? This blew me away. I should write it for the Daily Coach. He said, they asked him about the game against the Brooklyn Nets, and he said, well, you know, we're just going to get through this game. I can't wait to watch the end of the Masters. I hope somebody can catch Brooks Koepka. How would you like to be a player on the 76ers knowing that your head coach could care less about what's going to happen on the court? But that's Doc. You know, that's Doc. And Doc has never prepared his team to play what they have to do to beat the best teams. Whereas I think Miami – and I know what JVT says, all the numbers and all the trends are wrong, but I think Spoelstra knows how to prepare his team to play. I think if Miami played Philly, if Miami were the sixth seed and Philly, Miami would beat them.
So in my mind, I have the Celtics and Bucks facing off in the Eastern Conference Final, and it's anybody's game. It's anybody's series because that could be an NBA championship series.
I think it is.
But they're just in separate conferences. Is there a dark horse in the East you think could maybe overtake one of those two?
I don't see it. And I think what Danielle said too, I think Tatum, you know, he never gets talked about in the MVP conversation, which is fascinating. I mean, Tatum, I think, has had an incredible year. The Celtic team is really good. Now, they've gone through some lulls, ups and downs, and they've had some injuries, which has affected them. I don't see how anybody touches them. Okay. I think Miami will give them a hard time as the seventh seed, but they're not going to be able to beat them. There's just not enough there. Whereas Milwaukee, you know, with Giannis is to me the MVP of the league. I've said that to everybody. I mean, he's the best defensive player. They have such a good team around him. Well, he makes everybody else good that's around him.
Well, and the odds indicate as much. The Bucks, +120 favorite to be the team coming out of the East. Celtics +175, and then you see the drop off. Sixers there 4-1, and
I think
then even
Sixers
heavier.
The Sixers at 4-1 is trying to lull people into saying, "See, that's a really
this
good
is
number."
The year.
If they put it at 10-1, you know, would people still bet it? I mean, the Sixers are closer to the Cavs than they are the Celtics. They are.
You're so I
don't know why people laugh at that. It's true. Like, they don't beat good teams. It's been proven over time. I mean, when they play against the better teams, they have a harder time. So they're not going to beat the Bucks or the Celtics. So you could make that 15-1.
So whereas in the Eastern Conference, we really see a significant drop-off. In the West, there's a lot more opportunity. Of the 10 teams that are there in the West, who do you think – like, how many of those 10 realistically could have a shot to be the representative in the finals?
Well, I think 3 to 4 of them. Nobody talks about Denver, even though Denver's a really good team.
They're the best record. They're the one seed.
Yeah, I mean, they play it in a mile high. They play at a hard place to play.
Back-to-back MVPs with Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, nobody – I mean, the Suns, to me, you have to give them a lot of – I mean, because they have two of the best players in the league on their team. Forget about Chris Paul. I mean, you have Devin Booker and you have Kevin Durant. Again, you know, talent is going to prevail, and they're well-coached. I mean, look, the three teams that you have there are really three really well-coached teams. I think the Grizzlies are well-coached as well. The problem with the Grizzlies is they're going to miss Steven Adams.
Yeah, and I think another thing to worry about with the Grizz is you can't have everything on Ja Morant's shoulders. Like, I think that that's too much to put on him, and if he's off, then it's going to be a rough day.
And that's what happens. And so, like, the Clippers, you know, Paul George not playing. I mean, where are they? They haven't really come together. They're a collection of talent.
I think the Clippers are dead in the water.
I think they're a collection of talent. I don't think they're a good team.
I'm devastated because I do have a 12-1 ticket on the Clippers, and I would love for Kawhi Leonard to take them to the promised land. And
it's been a while since Kawhi's played to that level.
Yeah, I mean, because 2019 with the Raptors was the last time.
Yeah, that was it. Right, this is the last time. You know, remember he missed all of last year. We don't even know what that injury was.
Yep, and it sucks. And he is somebody that I always root for, no matter where he goes. And he is such a dynamic player when he is healthy and when he's able to be at his best. And the team wins games when he's out there on the court. He's just not out there on the court enough. And now not having Paul George is very frustrating.
Could you imagine if they would have traded for Paul George and just kept Alexander? And everybody applauded him for the trade. I'm not sure it was.
Well, again, when he's on the court, we just got to get everybody on the court. Keep it rolling.
Alexander's on the court all the time.
We'll be back here, same time, same place tomorrow, and I'll be complaining more about Kawhi.
And the Bryce Young odds will keep going up.